Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, finn@offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today I'm going to tell you the backstory of the West Coast's first female doctor who lived in Oregon and was actually something of an Oregon legend. Her story is really a rather inspiring one. After Bethenia Owens divorced the frontier slacker that she'd married at age 14, she went on to become one of Portland's most influential and respected professionals. I wrote this story in 2010, and it ran in the newspapers for the first time on August 14th of that year. Here we go. Maybe it's for the best that LeGrand Hill turned out to be such a lousy husband. Had he not beaten his wife and whipped their baby, George, Bethenia Hill would likely not have dumped him and gone on to become the first female physician on the West Coast, and the women's suffrage movement would have lost one of its brightest stars. Bethenia's decision to leave LeGrand was the more remarkable because she was just 18 when she made it, after 4 years of marriage. Also, this was 1858, and divorce was simply not contemplated. When she left, the neighbors were scandalized. Not that they were very likely surprised. LeGrand was by all accounts astonishingly lazy, and the only thing he showed a real talent for was hunting. After he lost their farm to foreclosure, her parents gave them some land and built a shell of a cabin on it for LeGrand to finish out with things like a floor and a chimney and cooking area. It remained in that condition for years, and Bethenia had to do all the cooking and domestic chores outdoors. But she put up with it, and possibly with some physical abuse as well, until the day he, quote, whipped my baby, who was around 24 months old at the time, by the way, about a two-year-old, unmercifully, and struck and choked me. Then she was gone, and so was little George. Within a year or two, she was divorced with full custody and her maiden name back. Suddenly at loose ends, Miss Bethenia Owens started leaving little George with his grandmother, where the little tyke played with his young aunts and uncles, and going to school. A few years later, she was actually teaching a class of 16 students, two of whom were more advanced than she. Quote, I took their books home with me, and with the help of my brother-in-law, I managed to prepare the lessons beforehand, and they never suspected my incompetence, she wrote later. But teaching and the grueling schedule of piecework jobs, chiefly laundry and sewing, were a means to an end for Bethenia. By working hard and being very thrifty, she saved up enough money to launch a dressmaking and millinery business in Roseburg. This business became very successful and generated enough money for her to send George to the University of California, Berkeley, when he was just 14. Once he was off to college, so was she. One of the skills she'd picked up in her life was medical. Nursing was, in that age, grueling and unappreciated work. Well, yeah, what's changed? Actually, quite a lot. It was worse then. It was easy to get this work, and it was hard to do. Precisely the kind of work a driven person like Bethenia would take to fill an unexpected gap in her schedule of piecework jobs. Along the way, she discovered she liked medicine. So, in 1870, she handed the Roseburg business off to a younger sister and headed east, to a medical school in Philadelphia, one which taught eclectic medicine. She returned a year or so later. Medical school in the 1870s was somewhat less lengthy than it is today, although not necessarily less arduous, and opened a medical practice. Although 1870s medicine was a bit of a Wild West kind of thing, eclectic medicine was not mainstream, and its favor was already fading. There's a pretty good chance that Bethenia had chosen the eclectic college because she was unable to get admission to a more mainstream medical school. There was still rampant sex discrimination in that industry at that time. But when young George graduated from Berkeley, she did not consider an eclectic college for him. She sent him off to Willamette University, and 2 years later he was an MD. Then she herself went out to get a real degree. After being turned away from several of the medical college boys' clubs, she found a place at the University of Michigan, and in 1880, after 2 years of study, she got it. Dr. Bethenia Owens, M.D., was now ready to take the place she'd earned in the society she had, in a very real sense, conquered. She became one of Portland's most well-known citizens, a good friend of Abigail Scott Duniway, and a powerful voice for women's suffrage. She went on to marry Colonel John Adair in 1884 and changed her name to Owens Adair. He seems to have been a problem for her. He spent her money as fast as she earned it on ill-considered and dreamy schemes. She retired from practice in 1905 and, after moving to Warrenton, died in 1926 at age 86. A modern person will probably find just one major negative thing in Bithynia's story. Like so many others of her era, she was a believer in the science, that science in big fat scare quotes, of eugenics. She became a powerful voice for forced sterilization, and her advocacy bore fruit in 1925 when the state adopted a statute establishing a eugenics board. In the 60 years after that, some 2,600-odd criminals and people deemed, quote, feeble-minded or insane had their reproductive organs stripped out, in an episode for which then-Governor John Kitzhaber issued a formal apology in 2002. That's our show for today. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone newsreader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. You can access all those at our anchor page at offbeatoregon.com. I do this for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising and I don't ask for donations. But if you feel like making a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town. It was published by the History Press in 2012, and you can order it on Amazon, or if you'd like a signed copy, from the store link at offbeatoregon.com. However, if you still have a community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources I used in writing this story. The podcast, like most Offbeat Oregon history resources, is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. If you're ever in Corvallis, do drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger now. Our next show is going to be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.